Taobh agus brigéad fádigatí an chlár speisialta seo chun lá éile fádraig a céúra. Tásúla go bhfuil sibh ar fónamh, gohfuil sibh ag buint tanamh as an lá, agus gohfuil sibh ag caitheamh éadaí glas uaine, agus gohfuil sibh broúil chun bheith i bhfuinéirinig iniu agus gach lá dar nóí. Tá anna chuid scéalta agus ceol a gam le roint libh, mar sin ligí bhuiscí agus buinicí tanamh as an glór. St. Patrick was walking through a brewery. It was on a Monday morning. He'd been travelling on foot for many days and his shoes were the worse for wear and big bloody blisters were coming up on his poor feet. As he was passing the shoemaker's house, he stopped in to ask if they could do something for him to fix up his old brogues and extend the life of them for him. The shoemaker told him to be on his way. "We're too busy here just now to be fixing up shoes for an old tramp like you. Besides, we've hardly any leather in the house. We can do nothing for you today." St. Patrick wondered how they could be so busy if they'd no leather to work with. The saint went on his way, limping on his blistered feet, and left the town of Brewery. But he left a curse of his own for the town of Brewery. From that day on, every Monday, a starling would fall to the ground from the walls of the castle to remind the people of Brewery of their lack of kindness.
Talk another ocht lande vron. Smees garre chwee o fluur na leech na vegem rish nith mo. Is it lar?
And the robber. It was one of those times when the rain had been pouring from the heavens day after day. When St. Patrick awoke to another wet morning, he was very disappointed. He had plans for the day, but he was unable to do anything because of the rain. He cursed the rain. If only it would stop, he could get on with doing his God's work amongst the people. Usually in the morning, the saint would give thanks to God for all the gifts that he gave so freely. Clean air to breathe, food to fill our bellies, water to drink, clothes to warm us, the song of the birds of the air to lift our spirits, sleep to refresh our souls, and so on. But in his prayers that morning, the saint did not thank his God for the rain. As the day went on, there was no manna from heaven for him, and his stomach growled with hunger. At last, it came to the saint that it was because of his own mean thinking and forgetfulness that no food from the heavens was manifesting that day. St. Patrick sat himself down and took a moment's quiet, asking himself what his God would want him to do now to make up for his lapse in gratitude. In the stillness, his God spoke to Patrick, telling him what to do. Next morning, he was to step into the waters of the River Shannon and to stay there until the staff he carried sprouted with green leaves. Patrick accepted this as his penance and promised he would see it through to its completion. Next morning, the saint awoke as the sun was rising. Facing east, he spoke his prayer of thanks for all of creation. Then, taking his staff in his hand, he strode out into the cold water of the river. He stood there, still as a statue, all day long until the sun was just beginning to sink in the west and the sky turned pink. There was a notorious thief living in that part of the country. Nothing was safe from him, and just that day he'd stolen a cow from a field near the river. Now here he was, driving the stolen cow before him with a long stick, when he saw the saint up to his shoulders in the river. "Whatever are you doing, man, standing in the cold water this chilly night?" Patrick explained that this was his penance for not thanking God for the rain the day before. He told the thief that he would stay in the river until his staff sprouted green leaves. "If that's what your God demands of you for such a small thing, then there's surely no hope at all for me. I've been stealing from others all my life. Hardly a day has gone by that I haven't robbed or plundered. What chance is there for me? Is there anything I can do?" "Well," said St. Patrick, "first you must return that cow to its owner, then step in here beside me until your own walking stick sprouts with leaves." The robber quickly led the cow back to the field, and when he returned, straight away he stepped into the cold water to stand alongside the saint. The thief had only got up to his knees in the Shannon when buds swelled on his stick and on St. Patrick's staff. Within moments, the sticky buds opened and green leaves uncurled, and before their eyes, even flowers began to blossom and scent the night air. The thief was astonished, but took it as a sign he was forgiven. From that day on, he wandered the roads, giving help where he could, and he never returned to his robbing ways. St. Patrick lifted his arms and sang out a prayer of thanks, knowing his God had forgiven his own momentary lapse and helped him turn a sinner towards a better way of living.
Thank you.
generous cow. Deep in the winter time, when Patrick was passing through a place called Balnamina near Kilfinan, a poor old woman welcomed him and his lad into her home. The house was cold, with no fire burning in the grate, and she had little to offer them to eat. But it was shelter on a cold night, and she had opened her door to them, and an offer of hospitality should never be spurned. Patrick sent the lad out to gather a bundle of rushes, and when he laid these in the grate, they burned like dry logs in the summer and filled the room with warmth. He made lamps of the rushes too, and these burnt like candles, brightening the room. Patrick then told the woman of the house to go and milk a white cow that was standing in the yard. What cow, she wondered, but she did as he said, and the cow gave her a full pail of warm, steamy, creamy milk. The woman thought the saint must have brought the cow with him. The cow was ready to be milked again an hour later and gave another pail full of milk. And an hour after that, she was ready again. There was so much milk that the old woman soon began making butter and cheese and sharing her good fortune with all her neighbours. And that at a time of year when other cows were dry. There was another old woman who thought to trick the cow. She brought a sieve and intended to milk the cow until it was dry. But that cow St. Patrick brought was never milked dry. In the end, she had to give up, as she was nearly drowning in all the milk. The generous cow continued to give a great supply of fresh, creamy milk every day until the day it died.
Yeah.
Rats and cats came to be. When St. Patrick was travelling throughout the country, he would call into houses here and there for a bit of refreshment. People were always happy to bring him in and share what they had with him. Hospitality was the name of the game. Back in those days, every household made its own butter, and they'd always have a flat tub called a cooler in the kitchen. When they made the butter, after the yellow lumps had formed, the butter had to be rinsed away in very cold water to wash out any remaining buttermilk. St. Patrick had a kind of a manna, a soft white substance that used to fall to him from the heavens above to sustain him when he was out on bleak mountainsides all alone, far away from the homes of generous folk. One day St. Patrick was stopping at a house, and to keep his manna clean, he laid the empty cooler over it to keep off the dust. There was a serving girl in the house who thought she would like to taste a bit of the saint's manna. So while he was busy talking, she stole a lump of it and hid it under another cooler. When the saint rose to go, he lifted the cooler, and what did they see come out from beneath it but a fine fat sow and her litter of bonnives. That was how the saint rewarded those good people for their hospitality. As soon as the saint had left the house, the serving girl ran to the other cooler to see what was under it. She lifted the corner and out swam a swarm of mice and rats. There was bedlam in the kitchen as the womenfolk shrieked and leaped up on stools, waving brooms at the creatures. "Run after the saint," the woman of the house called to the serving girl. "Catch him and bring him back, for surely he can rid us of this vermin." When St. Patrick returned, he clapped his two hands together at the door of the house. His black mittens became two black cats with sleek and shining coats, who leaped to the floor and chased the mice and rats until all were caught and killed. Ever since that day, cats have been chasing mice and rats. It's probably safe to say that they've not caught them all yet.
There's a dear little plant that grows in our eye. 'Twas St. Patrick himself, sure that set his. And the sun on its labor with pleasure did smile, and with dew from his eye often wet it. It shines through the bog, and the marlin, and they call it the dear little shamrock of Ireland. The dear little shamrock, the sweet little shamrock, the dear little sweet little shamrock of Ireland. That dear little plant still grows in our isle, fresh and fair as the daughters of Faerun, whose smiles can bewitch and whose eyes can commend in each climate the ever appearing. For they shine through the bog, through the brake and the from our soil,
When its three little leaves are extended, denotes from the stalk we together should toil, and ourselves by ourselves be befriended. And still through the bog, through the break and the mile, from one wood she branch like the shamrock of Ireland.
Birds of Arda. St. Patrick founded a church on the top of Knockpatrick Hill near Shanagolden. He stayed in the area for a while after that before he moved on to Ardpatrick. On that journey he passed through the place where the village of Arda is now. The saint and his men found scant welcome there. In fact, many of the locals threw stones at them, beat them with sticks and tried to drive them away. St. Patrick was so angry that he called out a curse upon them. He said there would be a corpse among them every Monday morning. The good people of the area were horrified when they heard Patrick's words, and they begged him to modify his curse. Not everyone here is cruel. There are good people amongst us, and we do not deserve your wrath. We heard your curse that each Monday there will be a death there. Can you not change the terms of it and let it fall on some other creature rather than the people? Patrick listened, and he saw the sense of their pleading, so he agreed, "Let it be so. I will spare the people of Arda." They say that ever since then, every Monday, a dead bird has been found in Arda.
Walking all the day near tall towers where falcons build their nests. Silver-winged they fly, they know the call of freedom in their breasts. Saw black head against the sky, where twisted rocks they run to the sea. Living on your western shore, saw summer sunsets, asked for more. I stood by your Atlantic sea, and I sang a song for Ireland. Drinking all the day in old pubs where fiddlers love to play. Saw one touch the bow, he played a reel which seemed so grand and gay. Stood on Dingle Beach and cast in wild foam, we found Atlantic bass. Living on your western shore, saw summer sunsets, asked for more. I stood by your Atlantic sea and sang a song for Ireland. Thank you. with true friends who try to make you stay, telling jokes and the news, singing songs to while the time away. Watch the Galway salmon run like silver, dancing, darting in the sun, living on your western shore. Saw summer sunsets, asked for more. I stood by your Atlantic sea, and I sang a song for Ireland. Dreaming in the night, I saw a land where no one had to fight. Waking in your dawn, I saw you crying in the morning light. Sleeping where the falcons fly, they twist and turn all in your air blue sky. Living on your western shore, saw summer sunsets, asked for more. I stood by your Atlantic sea, and I sang a song for Ireland.
Witch's Fire. There's another story as to how this stone got the imprint of the saint's knees. On one cold night, the saint was out in Ballinacraga on the side of Knockpatrick Hill. Although he could see the outline of the houses ahead of him, he could see no light in any window. He knocked on the door of the closest cottage. No one came to the door, but at last the voice of an old woman called out to him, "Who's there? Whatever do you want at this hour in a cold night like this?" "My name is Patrick," he answered her. "I'm looking for shelter in a cold night." The woman was reluctant, but at last she agreed to open the door to him and bring him inside. She warned him not to look up at Knockpatrick Hill. She knew there was a witch's fire there that night, and anyone who saw it would start to sneeze and keep sneezing until they died. As she opened the door to let him in, she saw the fire on the hill, and immediately she gave a violent sneeze. "A tissue!" At once Patrick called out, "God bless us!" And the fire on the hill disappeared. The woman sneezed again. "A tissue!" And the fire on the hill came back to life. "God bless us," called St. Patrick, and the fire was doused once again. When the woman sneezed again, the fire on the hill blazed up brighter than ever before, and the flames leaping high into the night sky. St. Patrick called out, "God Almighty, bless and save us," and this time the fire was extinguished for good. The old woman was safe now and sneezed no more. As the saint went out into the dark and climbed the hill, the witch threw a stone at him. St. Patrick knelt on that stone, and the imprint of his knees remained on it. serpent. The next day, St. Patrick set out for the Galty Mountains, travelling by Glenbrahan and Ballylanders. There was a serpent lived at the top of the mountains who would devour anyone who came too near him. Few dared to pass that way because of the fearsome creature. St. Patrick bound the serpent in chains and tricked him into a nearby lake, Loch Dineen, on the Limerick-Tipperary border. The saint told him it was only a temporary arrangement, and he would be freed again tomorrow. Every now and then that serpent would come to the surface of the lake, and in an angry voice he would ask whoever passed by, "Is it tomorrow yet?" But of course, as it never is tomorrow, the serpent is imprisoned still there. My dog's hair lies flat. St. Patrick had been up on the hill of Knockpatrick. When he was making his way back down, a big black dog was coming up the hill towards him, slathering at the chops. The hairs on its back stood straight up to attention as the creature growled at St. Patrick. Patrick raised his hand and the dog quietened and sat before him. As he stroked the dog's back, the hair is flattened and they have stayed that way ever since. That's why every dog's hair lies flat to this day. Stonecutters. St. Patrick was just leaving Knockpatrick and was passing by the blacksmith's forge at Barracks Cross. The forge was busy with a crowd of men gathered outside. A group of stonecutters from Foynes had come there to get their chisels pointed. While the smith worked on the tools, the stonecutters amused themselves tormenting a poor donkey who was tied to a stone outside the forge. The poor creature was skin and bone and looked weary, thirsty, and as if it had carried loads too heavy for it to bear. The stonecutters cruelly jabbed at the donkey with their red-hot chisels. The animal simply stood there, unable to escape. St. Patrick was enraged, unable to condone such treatment of one of God's creatures. He spoke out angrily to the stonecutters for their cruelty. The stonecutters laughed at Patrick and shook their chisels at him as if they would attack him next. Unafraid, Patrick fetched a basin of water and let the donkeys drink his fill. Then he spoke out a curse upon the stonecutters of Foynes. May all stonecutters who live in Foynes, generation after generation, be cursed with a burning thirst. And people said that even until recent times, stonecutters in that area have had a problem with drink. Fádraig. Chríist lom, chríist róm, chríist amíg, chríist istig anam, chríist fúm, chríist os mihion, chríist ar mar láv yas, chríist ar mar láv flé, chríist ima lídam, chríist ima chasavdam, chríist igrí gach dina atá i cuina verim, chríist imeil gach dina a la rian lom, chríist ingach súl a eacan arim, chríist ingach clús a eistin lom. St. Patrick's Breastplate. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ within me, Christ below me, Christ above me, Christ on my right hand, Christ on my left hand, Christ in my sleeping, Christ in my waking, Christ in the heart of all who think of me, Christ in the mouth of all who speak of me, Christ in every eye that looks at me, Christ in every ear that listens to me.
Thy poor children be bestow a sweet smile, and now thou art high in the mansions above, on Erin's green valleys, look down in thy love. On Erin's green valleys, on Erin's green valleys, on Erin's green valleys, look down in thy love. Hail, glorious Saint Patrick, thy words were once strong against Satan's wiles and an infidel throng. Not less is thy might where in heaven thou art. Oh, come to our aid, in our battles take part. Oh, come to our aid. Oh, come to our aid. Oh, come to our aid, in our battles take part. Ever bless and defend the sweet land of our birth, where the shamrock still blooms as when thou wert on earth, and our heart shall yet burn wheresoever we roam, for God and Saint Patrick and our native home. For God and Saint Patrick, for God and Saint Patrick, for God and Saint Patrick and our native home. For God and Saint Patrick, for God and Saint Patrick, for God and Saint Patrick and our
Uimenu. Balakdina Fela Porig Arv Arish, Atasulgum Govinship Tan of Asan Glor, Agus Govinship Tan of Asan Kyol Tradishunta at all gum Tresh and Sosfogriakta. Bigi Kurmuk, Bigi Arfonov, Nodinikidurud for Loiva Ani, Agus Kuti and Hid or Ella, Bigi Slan, Bigi Kurmuk, Agus Largi Gwelgilakela.
Sheena Fenn Afar.